Well, good morning. What a privilege, though, it is to be part of this body. I sincerely mean that. And it certainly is a privilege to have been sent by you to represent you in the Philippines. You know, today I'm going to do kind of a hodgepodge of things. One of the things is to not so much to give you a report about what we did in the Philippines. Many of you received our updates, and you kind of know what we did. But more so, I want to talk or perhaps give a somewhat incomplete report on what's happening in the Philippines, about how God is working in the Philippines that we were privileged to witness and in some cases be part of. This body has made a rather substantial financial investment in missions. Every year our mission giving as far as out of our general fund is roughly 22-23% of our budget. Beyond that, though, we act as a funnel for designated funds, and our commitment to missions through the designated funds is almost as great as our total budget for running the church. And I think that the songs that we're saying today emphasize that that's really what God has for us, that we are to be partners with Him. And so I want you to see that you are making an impact. You are partners, not just with the Philippines, but with several parts of the world. Today, we're going to focus on the Philippines. Many of you have met this couple. They've been here a couple of times. I'm hopeful that maybe they'll be here in February or March this year. That's not a definite yet, but we are hopeful. Bobby and Nomi are our host, brothers and sisters. Bobby is the lead pastor at two different churches, but he oversees several other churches. They also are the directors of the Asian Christian School of Ministry. And I thought I was in pretty good shape. Trying to keep up with them is a tough go. I will tell you, they are on the move constantly. In fact, they had a pastor's celebration meeting on Christmas Day. Oh, they're always on the go and a grand couple of folks. I do want you to have in mind a spiritual reference here. And so we're going to just mention two different verses or readings. One is from Matthew. You all know this. It's called the Great Commission. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Dave and I were talking this morning about our little heat situation, and as he confessed, he didn't pray about it. And yet, guess what? God was still here. He is always, even to the end of the world. Second little scripture, just to give you some context, comes from the book of Acts, the first chapter, the eighth verse. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, the Philippines might be our end of the earth. I'm not sure. So it's a little ways away. roughly 8,000 miles. That's the direct route. We don't get to take the direct route too much. We end up in Japan, a little further north, drop down to the country that's called the Philippines. We spend most of our time on the island of Negros. You can kind of see it down there near the bottom in red. That island, actually, it's the fourth largest island in the Philippines out of the 7,000 or so islands, depending on if it's high tide or low tide. And most of our time, we're in Dumaguete. The island is broke up into two provinces, or what we would call states, Negros Oriental in the east, where we are, and Negros Occidental on the western side. Dumaguete is the capital, Negros Oriental, much like Sacramento would be our capital. It has one thing on its capital building that I haven't even seen a hint of in Sacramento. This big sign, it lights up at night even. It says, "In God we trust." Kind of neat. So that's where most of our time, although we'll show you the map with some other arrows as we go on. This trip, we spent almost our whole time on Negros. Sometimes we have gone to some other islands, and I did get down to Siquijor. You'll hear about that in a moment. But we read in those scriptures really some commands to us. So how is the command being met in the Philippines? Well, I'm going to rattle through some things here, and then we'll explore them a little more as we go on. But the Asian Christian School of Ministry, located now in Dumaguete, is a training center, if you will, for Christian workers, pastors, or other ministry leaders, and you'll hear more about that in a moment. When we started going to the Philippines in 2002, the college was located in Bias City. Now, they have an extension there. So we do some teaching up in Bias City as part of the Asian Christian School of Ministry as well. There is a lot of local church support. Now, when we say local churches, we're looking at a network of churches of roughly 60, 70 churches that network together, and the association and the churches support one another, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Bobby has several pastors fellowships, that gatherings to support them, but also to visit with them a little bit about upcoming things or things they need to know. We see home Bible studies, and then there's the evangelism aspect. Crusades or outreaches are very much a part of it. But all of this goes really back to how is God being glorified? I mean, it doesn't make much sense to have churches if you're not going to meet the primary function of the church, and that's to glorify God and then to spread his word about. And so certainly worship and singing and teaching and dancing and praying and caring for the needy. I'll kind of zero in on kids' care mission a little bit in that as we go through this. And also just the idea of fellowship. Now, it's really nice to have those nice distinct categories that I just rattled off. But as you well know, that you can't categorize some of this stuff and that there's a lot of overlap. But I want you to have kind of that thought in mind. Well, let's talk about the Asian Christian School of Ministry. This was a particular night. This is primarily staff, I think. But we had one of the things about the school that I love. It is a hands-on education for the most part. So when I talk about this particular little event was student night, the students put it on. The students learn by doing. Every day there's a chapel that the kids do. Occasionally they get a guest speaker in, but basically chapel 5 days a week is a church service. And they lead the worship, and during the course of their time there, they ought to probably learn how to play a guitar, how to lead. Even if one of the things I try to hide in the back when we are going through this, so that my voice doesn't throw anybody off, because I am not. I've been told that I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And there's probably some truth to that. And here we get kind of subconscious about that. You know, I don't want to do that. There, nah, sing loud. It's fine. We enjoy, because we're not singing for our entertainment. Now, just a note here. While we were down in Bakersfield, we went to Megan's church for the first of their three candlelight services. I don't know how many people total they had, but I know that Megan, as part of her job as an administrative assistant, ran off 1,000 copies of the program for the three services that night, candlelight services. She and the music was really, really good. But I have to tell you, I felt a little bit like maybe I was being entertained. I mean, it was professional. Instead of joining in. Now, that's probably on me. But there aren't a lot of places that it is sounds real professional. The church in Dumaguete, maybe. But students, well, first of all, let me say this. There is a day school part of ACSM, and the students live on campus. And these are primarily, for the most part, kids right out of high school that now come and participate in this curriculum. 2 year, if you go through this, it's a 2 year curriculum on campus, and then another year internship at a church, and they end up with an AA degree. Pastors, church workers, whatnot in the Philippines, very, very few get any pay, and basically what I'm telling you is you don't make a living being a pastor there. This particular class, which is part of the curriculum, vocational class, I ended up taking over this class. And then basically, I taught gardening. If kids can learn to grow their own food, they can feed their families. And probably very easily, without all the inspection things and whatnot we go through, they can sell some excess or barter it or whatever. And so we went through a whole gardening thing. In the past, I have taught welding. Bobby is very strong on teaching work ethic, and so these kids work, and this is part of it. And it's that particular class. Living there, they got to learn all these life skills, like doing laundry. And no, they don't have a nice little Westinghouse thing to throw the clothes in. They're at the water pump, because there isn't running water too much. And washing in their tubs. They have a nice schedule set up, so not everybody's there at the same time. They also learn to prepare their own meals. The picture on the left there is a typical dirty kitchen that most homes have outside. And nice little table they build the fire on and cook with. And they call it dirty kitchen because soot does build up. Night class. This is now the second section of the school, this relatively new division, primarily adults, although the day school students are often in there as well. This particular room is the chapel, classroom, cafeteria, meeting room. I guess in our school lingo, we call it the multi-purpose room. It's used for about everything. I was teaching a class on the Pauline epistles. These students are working on a map of Paul's missionary journeys. Note, it looks like the fellow on the left looks like a spotlight. Well, that so he could see his paper. Actually, what a spotlight. Hand you can't see, he's holding a phone with the flashlight down. The lighting wasn't really grand. So you see some things that we take for granted, like light, little different. Now, another thing that's added, as I alluded to a moment ago, is that back to Bias City, now doing a night class or two up there. And this, again, is primarily adults. It was a two-hour session, 1 hour of one class, 1 hour another. Sue taught the Pauline epistles up there. I had the challenge of teaching theology. Yeah. Teach a full theology course in 4 weeks at 1 hour. I spent more time figuring out what not to teach rather than what to teach. But really, the exciting thing was you had a group of adults that didn't have to be there, but wanted to be there, had a hunger to know more of the word so that, one, they can glorify God, and two, that they can be spreading his word, have more of a knowledge of it. I did have opportunity to go down to Sikihor Island. That Lorena down there is the name of the city that the ferry lands at. It's about a 45-minute to two-hour trip, depending on which boat you get on and the weather. And sometimes it's longer than that because sometimes when the sea is high, the boats don't go. I got there, drove around the island to Lazai, I think is how you say it. And one of the things when we think about supporting local churches is the fellowshipping and having celebrations together. About every church there has what they call a Thanksgiving celebration. We would probably more appropriately call it an anniversary celebration. They have a big celebration and thank God for another year of being able to serve him. And it's basically a nice celebration, usually a great meal. The Full Gospel Center of Jesus Christ was the name of this particular church. A lot of these churches meet in a big living room, and the house is part of where the pastor lives. And that was the case here. Whoops. This is their basically living room, and it was a little crowded. A lot of things, again, that we take for granted that we don't often think about. You see where I am. I'm in the second row back.
Where's Sue?
She didn't go with me on this trip down. She's back in Dumaguete at this point. There was a dog under my feet, though, if that makes any difference. Check under your feet now if you want. This I wanted to show you because I got up to speak and I said, okay, everybody, say hello, Community Church of Loyalton. They did. Unfortunately, my technology education is lacking, and that's the slide I got. Trust me, they did say it. This was kind of, I threw a slide in. You're going to see some pictures of inside of churches that really vary. This pretty uptown, a screen not unlike the one we have back there that they put the lyrics up on. Now, I want you to remember something. Remember where I was standing? Second row. Almost everybody is behind me. And I'm in line for almost everybody with the lyrics. And everybody stands up to sing. I'm glad they knew the words because I know they couldn't see them through me. I try to be transparent, but it didn't work for that. And the guest of honor, They always eat, have a grand meal, and lechon is the roasted pig, and that was kind of fun. Now, this is Covenant Life Church Thanksgiving. You see a little difference to doing the opening prayer there, I think, and you see the LED wall in the back, and you have all the sound equipment, and they can even get the smoke rolling up. Now, part of this is because it's a bigger church, and part of it, this is the home church, right? It's right there on the same, right next door to the house that Bobby and Nomi live in, and it's the campus church. But the main reason they have all that stuff is that Jerwell, that has been here, some of you have met, one of his enterprises is selling that kind of equipment. So this becomes, in part, his showroom, too. You don't see this at too many churches. But again, Covenant Life Thanksgiving, and their Thanksgiving things. It isn't up just to the pastor to figure out what we're going to do, give thanks for. Usually every group in the church is going to do something. In this case, the men of the church had to sing a special. And like I said, really there it worked well. Because you're going to see there's only two mics there. One of them Jabin has, and he's playing the guitar, and it's really amped up. So you don't have to sing well, because you're going to be drowned out by the instruments anyway. Taiyasen, this was another church fellowship way to the north. Very special to me because the young lady, she's got five kids now, that is the pastora, her husband the pastor, she was the first ACSM student that we ever talked to when we pulled up in our first trip in 2002 and opened the van door. Here was Anna to speak to us, welcoming us, and she still welcomes us. Again, a little bit different in that you don't see a lot of the electronics. They do have a little amplifier. Don't have anybody that can sing well. But again, this one was a little bit of a challenge for me because I knew I was going up. I was told I was going up to speak at a pastor's fellowship. And I had prepared a message specifically to encourage pastors. Boy, there's a lot of people here, and they don't all look like pastors. And I get up, I'm in the front row, and they start singing, and I'm still kind of wondering what's, you know. And then I get handed a bulletin that says the Taiyasen Church anniversary celebration. Oh, this isn't a pastor's. So I adapted on the move a little bit, and they had their guest of honors as well. And back to Bias City for another one. Now, Bias City is a church we feel very at home at because it was where established for the college 35 years ago. This was their 35th anniversary. And they are a working church. There are seven, I believe, outreach churches started and going. One of them at SACSAC, where that really was established because of a crusade that we conducted there back in 2002. And so, again, you're having some impact and playing a part in their ministries. So everybody shows up, and it was and including, I might mention, all of the kids care groups as well, kids care mission group, because Bias City acts as kind of the hub of that, and that's when it all got established. Now, there's a little church that has been established in the last 2.5 years in Darwin, which is just a little way south of Dumaguete. Again, this is kind of a home church. And if you think that I blocked the TV stand, you see the papers behind Hannah Lee here. Those are the lyrics for the songs. Not much technology at this church, not a huge church. But again, she was one of our students, and her husband at this point, like a lot of families I see, just it bothers me. You can't always find work. He lives in Canada right now, has a job in Canada, and sends money home. But you can see it's not a huge church, but it is a church that has been started, is growing, and will soon have its own building. Pastors fellowships, again, an opportunity for pastors to greet. Bobby does several of these. Rather than trying to go to every church, he has a meeting and maybe has to do three or four to cover the whole area. But this is the first one that I went to this year is in Chaton down in the southern part of the island. And this was the group. Now, this church was an interesting church. The fellow in kind of the, greenish beige shirt in the middle is the pastor. This is the church. And no, it's not a full roof. But, you know, our services aren't just like the assembly services, and they're not just like Pastor Rawls. I mean, every church is a little different. To give you an idea, this is their activities every Sunday. They start at 8, go to 8:30, and then 8:30 to 9:30 Sunday school, and then they have 9:30 to 10 testimonies. And then 10:30 to 11:30 is the sermon. That's what divine message means. 11:30 to 12, they have their tithes and their opening and closing remarks every Sunday. So 8:30 to 12. Now that, you think that may seem long, but it's got to seem longer because this is a picture of their pews. How'd you like to sit on those for 3.5 hours? We did get the pastors together up at Tyson. Again, it's just an opportunity to get to. Now, occasionally, there are special seminars, and one was being conducted. We went to one day of it. It was being week. Another couples from Missouri came to put on specifically for pastors and their wives. And so this is some of the ones that were there. We were able to do that. Home Bible studies. I know that often we portray homes as these little NEPA huts that a strong wind is going to carry it away. But not all the home Bible studies are that way. We did a home Bible study at this place. Now, that's a pretty fancy house. People that own it don't live there. They live, guess where? United States. Send the money home, get the buildings going and done. And it's her sister? Her sister that sort of lives there and has the Bible study. And this is up at Ton High, which is between Bias City and Dumaguete. And it's just a gathering of folks that want to hear more about God, learn more about God. There are a number of different outreaches that occur, and almost every church has an outreach somewhere. It may be right in Dumaguete. Dumaguete's a very large town. Crusade that I participated in this year was a two-night affair. Way down there in Loch Bonawan, all the way kind of around the horn, if you will. We conducted it basically at an outdoor basketball court, dirt basketball court. But there was, on the two nights, probably over 200 people. And typical crusade singing, and then there's typically the college students who put on some skits pointing things towards God, and then the message, and then an invitation, and that's kind of, you see that there was a lot of response to the invitation. The thing that really touched me, we always end the night of a crusade with opportunity for people to come forward for prayer. And so we just set up some lines, and I had my head of my line was me and one of the college students that could interpret for me. And people come up, and the vast majority of the requests deal with health. I know I have whined about our health care system here. I have, you know, oh, I had to wait this long for an appointment, or gee, I got to drive to Reno, or what? I'm going to quit whining. So much of the prayer request dealt with things that we would have went to a doctor long ago. I am sure one man one night was having an appendicitis attack, but has no access to health care, either because of logistics or finance, or in this case, probably both. He really needed to be in Dumaguete, an hour and a half or 2 hours away, in a good car. But it costs something to get there, and it costs something to be treated, and not there. And you can't solve everybody's problem. That's one of the biggest frustrations there. You have to be a little bit discerning of what God wants you to do and for whom. And so you pray, and you pray. One night, first night, I kept praying in between people. God, give us something tonight or tomorrow that we can point to as a testimony. And this lady came up, and she was in a lot of pain. And she had a big swelling on the back of her shoulder, and the pain radiated down her chest and down her arm, and her knees hurt. She hobbled more than walked. So I prayed for her. And then that night, Bobby and I headed back up to Dumaguete, but the college kids camped out, spent the night. The next day, they went door to door, all the area around, inviting people to that next night's crusade. And the next day we got down there, and Reg says, and she had interpreted for me the night before, she says, you remember that lady that had the swelling and was in such pain? I said, yeah. She says, well, I went to her house, and she invited me in, and I had a cup of tea with her, and we talked, and the swelling was all gone, and there was no pain. And she could walk fine. Well, there's no health care that went and did that. Well, there's only one logical explanation. God. God. And so that's, you know, one of the privileges of being able to go there and to pray. There are some people that do come forward and ask for prayer. One lady just said she lives in an evil house. Sure that there's demons there. We prayed on that. There's some really weird things that come up, and it's eye-opening and makes you appreciate what we have. Now, they have another outreach. Actually, Roberto has. And I didn't tell you, because we didn't go to the outreach, but we did go and visit the little village. We had to walk, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile or so down this path to place where he's got a Bible study thing. I say Bible study. He had a Bible study started. That's probably somewhat of a misnomer. It's hard to study the Bible if you don't have a Bible. And he had 30 adults coming and 40 kids coming. So he's, you know, he was looking for a little help there. Was just amazing. People were very excited about the fact that we would take the time. We were actually coming back from the pastor's fellowship to stop and go in and visit with him a little bit. So you see those kind of things happening. A couple of new churches. The second one there, Darwin, I mentioned earlier, the property is purchased. It's right on the National Highway. Need to do some clearing and to raise the level of the ground up somewhat, and then we can start building. Hopefully that'll be up and going within the year. You don't have a lot of government restrictions or whatever. We put, we're going to do a structure for the Bell here. And we put the plans in, and it's probably going to take 2-3 months to get the building permit. Yeah, but I mean, it takes a while, and then there's inspections and all of that. So when we went to Sikihor, and I spoke at the church there, two folks were there. The shorter one is Bonard, who is actually Bobby's cousin, and he has a church just a little ways from ACSM. The young man is his nephew, who has inherited a little piece of ground in this village, and he says he is the only one in his immediate family and in that community that is a Christian. So what he wanted to do was they had this piece of land, and it was broken up to the different heirs. With his little piece, he wanted to build a church. And so we drove up there and looked at and visited, and you can see the ground there on September 28th. And I prayed over the ground with him, and it was nice. And I'm thinking, well, I hope he gets a church started. That's their Christmas Eve service in the church. That's really answered to prayer, but it's also amazing. We couldn't build it. We couldn't get an inspector that quick. That's the church, and it's just amazing to me that they have services there every Sunday now, and the community is coming. I have some other pictures that I've pulled off Facebook that show it. Yeah, I mean, that's not a huge building to start with. I mean, you could probably put two of those in this room without too much trouble. But it's full Sunday morning. Maybe it's because those chairs are more comfortable than those bamboo things that Roberto has. I don't know, but anyway. One of the real joys that we have that I hope you share, and I know you do because you help finance it, is Kids Care Mission, KCM. And how many sites now? Five? Started out, most of you know the story, John Ray, Bobby and Nomi's oldest son, actually started Kids Care Mission. And it started with John Ray was at this little, went up to this little village of Makenia. And I'll give you the quick Reader's Digest version. He wanted to get these little fighting spiders. And so he told all the kids that were in this little village, I'll give you a peso for each spider you bring me back. And then he'd take them down to buy a city, and his plan was to sell them for 10 pesos. Quite an entrepreneur, you know. And so he did. The kids went out and came back, and now it's lunchtime, and Nomi had packed him a lunch, so he told them, you guys can go eat lunch. They said, well, we don't get lunch. So he shared his lunch. And he went back and sold these little spiders to his friends and whatnot. And then he used the money to buy more food. Next week he went back. And that started Kids Care Mission. He would do that, and they'd sing some songs, and he'd tell them some Bible stories, and they'd play some games, and they'd feed them. Well, pretty much is still what happens at McKenna every week. Except that as far as Kids Care Mission goes, the vision has expanded. There's also not just in McKenna, but also, I'll come back, in Dungawan, and also I think the other three sites are all right around in Bias City. And so a lot of kids. And so what that happens and once a week, but once a month, everybody gathers together at the Community Bible Center for church. And then afterwards, they get a meal. And then we do some food distribution. We're able to, it's probably 3-4 pounds of rice and maybe a couple of packages of like Top Ramen type of noodles and maybe a couple cans of sardines. It's not a lot, but it helps the family. And so we're able to do that basically because of people sponsoring. And we also, and I have no idea, because we don't take in all that much money, how God stretches things. We also are able to buy the kids their school supplies. School may be free, but you have to provide your own supplies, and we're able to do that. And this picture actually is at one of the feedings, or the Sunday food distributions. That little girl in the white there in front, I think she's evil. See, they're from McKenna, and we were up there at McKenna, and we had to kill a little extra time for the food to get ready. So I taught the kids a game. Itik, itik, ganza. You might know it as duck, duck, goose. So you sit in a circle, and one person goes around going, etik, etik, etik. And then when they tap you and say, ganza, they run around, and you have to try to catch them before they get back to that empty spot. And I thought, I'll teach them that. But, you know, I'm kind of big and intimidating, maybe. I'll do it once, and then nobody will ever touch me. I made the mistake of touching her first, and then she touched me back, and then everybody touched me. And when we came into this meal function or whatnot, we got to the church, and she just looked at me and smiled, and they all said, itik, itik, ganza? No. This is the road into McKenna when it's passable. If it's rain, it's probably not passable. The couple that now do the work at McKenna and lead that are from the church in Bias City. He's actually a school teacher. And Pat, you'll appreciate this. He teaches science. High school, but their high school actually starts in what we would call middle school, 7th, 8th grade. His class size, average for the four classes he teach, and incidentally, the school has two sessions. He goes at 1 to start teaching to 8 because the school isn't large and, you know, big enough for everybody. His average class size is 70. And usually has enough chairs because somebody's usually absent. Things we take for granted. And that's the norm, I'm told. Oh, anyway. But McKenna is a little bit isolated. That's some of the kids there. Dungawan is a different one. And this is one that, Craig, you might even appreciate this. You remember that ground that was bare? For a long time, the Dungawan met on a porch. And this is probably the largest of the sites. Well, I know the San Jose one might be, but there's probably, 40, 50 kids. And they were meeting on a porch that would hold about 20 of them if you crammed them together. We were able to acquire this land and get it built up so it wouldn't flood. And now, God has provided. In fact, God's even provided more. I can't see in this picture, but again, just to show you God working, there's a whole lot beside it and in back of it. And then there's a couple of houses that have all of a sudden the church now owns. And so that's going to expand even more. And then the food distribution again. Fellowship time. This young lady, actually, when she was a youngster, this third trip we were there, we went up to Sac-Sac and were looking around for a building site, and Adam carried a little girl around with her most of the time. And then several years later, Sue and I are teaching in the college, and I had my computer up with a picture of my family, and she says, "I know him. How do you know my son?" She says, "He carried me around. It's a little girl." And now she's no longer a little girl. But she, just a time of gathering together, speaking, eating, typical transportation. Now, kind of to end with, you folks blessed us with quite a bit of money to use for ministry, and I wanted to just give a little report about how that money was used. You left it to us. The college students have to raise money for some various projects, and one of them is a mock wedding. And help me, Sue. Anyway, they put on a fake wedding. They draw lots to see who's going to be the bride, who's going to be the groom, who's going to be the best man, who's going to be the... And everybody has to fill a role. And everything is exactly like a real wedding, except they don't sign a wedding certificate. And so it's, again, hands-on, practical learning. They also organize a mission trip to, it may be a different island or somewhere else, but again, working with a church. So we donated towards that, their expenses. We also donated money towards Bibles for that outreach in Chitone. The week after we left, there were a whole bunch of folks heading to Mindanao and Davao to put on, I believe it was four nights of concert evangelism. And the group, the musicians and everything, there were just the singers and musicians, right? I think there were 12, all pretty much youth. I mean, 20s, 30s, kind of, that's youth. You're youth, Brian. And evangelism speakers, they were gigantic crusade in big venues. And we helped support that. We fixed that light problem in the chapel. It now has plenty of light, as does the outside, so you can get there in the dark without tripping, as I did. And then some added funds to Kids Care Mission. I want to say thank you for the privilege of representing you. We go as your ambassadors, and we go because of a call. Now, Sue and I both say, "Send me, Lord." And he's been faithful to do this. This coming home was coming home from our 14th trip there, and it has been very much a blessing to us. But I think the thing that I hope most of all is that we are representing you in a way that shines God's light. And I hope that's your goal, is to shine God's light. You know, we sang a little earlier, freely, freely I give. Why do we give? Because he already gave to us. One of the lyrics we sang in another song that I think sometimes we sing without really focusing in. It says, I suffered much for thee. Why? To rescue you from hell. See, without Jesus, that's where we're going. And so hopefully, the impact we make, when I say we, I mean we make, helps rescue people from hell to have a glorious life. Do that, our light's got to shine. So we're going to close with a song that most of you should know, I think. So I'll ask the worship team to come up. And let me just say that if you are perhaps ashamed and that you need to light the fire again, this might be a time to commit to saying, God, light the fire again, as we sang earlier. Buy some of his gold. If someone would like prayer, I'd be delighted to meet with you or any of this. Anybody here, pray with one another to get that gold, to have the light, to be thankful that we have a light to shine.
Earlier we talked about Light the Fire Again, one of our songs. I want to see everybody's light. I'm not seeing everybody's light. Everybody's light. Okay? We're going to use that light right now. Any idea what song we're singing? Yeah. Let's stand. Let's let that shine, light shine. Starting here among brothers and sisters in Christ. And then all throughout our town, our valley, our communities around the world. So let's sing This Little Light of Mine. Let your light shine throughout this week. Go with God's peace upon you and his love shining off of your face to each and every other one. Have a blessed day.